All right, so today, what the Holy Spirit has put on my heart to speak to you about is keys to unlocking joy. Amen. Next slide, please. So I have a question for you. Are you joyful? Yeah, so there are a few choices here that represent what an answer could be. You can raise your hands or not. A, I'm always joyful. Praise God. Praise God. B, it depends on what's happening. I know, I can relate to that, right? C, I pray for joy when I'm feeling down. Yeah, I know, I do too. And D, hardly ever. Okay, sometimes, okay. All right, so I'm glad to get you thinking about this topic. All right, next slide, please. So what is joy? Let's just start off with what the dictionary defines as joy. Joy is the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. Joy is a source or cause of keen pleasure or delight. It's something or someone greatly valued or appreciated. And third, joy is the expression or display of glad feeling, festive gaiety. So, celebration, right? Kind of like what we started doing, right? So I think from this definition, you can summarize that joy is like a response, okay? It's an emotion and it's display. It's a response to something or someone that brings great satisfaction or pleasure to you. Or it's something or someone that is greatly valued and appreciated, okay? So who wants more joy? Yeah, we all do. Amen. Amen. All right, next slide, please. Now let's turn to joy as it pertains in the Bible. So, question for you. How many times is joy mentioned in the Bible? Is it A, 518, B, 461, or C, 367? Okay, A, I think A, okay, next slide please. Okay, so the answer is 461. Yeah, all right. 461, hey, that's a lot of times. That's only exceeded by love, right, which is the central theme of the good news, and it's mentioned more times than peace. And in the original language of the Bible, Hebrew and Greek, what I found when I was doing my research was that there's actually 35 different words for joy. Let's think on that. That's a lot, right? So we'll talk about that in a little while, that it's similar to the dictionary definition, but more nuanced and more granular, okay? So how does joy come about? Next slide, please. Okay, let's say this together. Joy is birthed in my spirit, appropriated through my soul, and displayed by my body. Let's do that again, everybody. Joy is birthed in my spirit, appropriated through my soul and displayed by my body. From this circular diagram, you see that there is a connectedness and an interaction across the three parts of our being. Okay, let's remember that. So in the Lord, in the faith, joy is birthed in the spirit, appropriated through my soul and displayed by my body. So how is joy birthed in us? Next slide, please. The joy is in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is in me. Let's say that together. Joy is in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is in me. Point to yourself, in me. So what this is telling me is that if we have accepted Jesus into our hearts, the kingdom is in us, and therefore our capacity to be joyful is in us. Let that sink in, okay? Now, Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." And Luke 17:21 says, "For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst, it's in me." So the kingdom of God represents, at this point, it represents the dominion and the rulership or the kingship of God that is within us, right? Because God's earthly kingdom is not yet established, but it represents kingdom in us, okay? And it represents the perfect order, all right, of things that Christ has laid the foundation within us, Lord. The order of how we live, the order of how we behave, right? The order of what we say, the order of what we believe, all right? So that has to come first. That's our foundation. Righteousness is about our position in Christ. If we accepted Jesus into our hearts, he's our Savior, we are in right standing with the Lord. We have a relationship with him. Peace represents that harmony, right? If we are in right standing with God, we are at peace with God. We are to be at peace with each other if we are in the kingdom. Amen? Living in one accord with one another. Now, if we have the kingdom in us, if we have righteousness, our right standing before God, if we have peace in us and with each other and with God, what is the result? It's joy. Amen? Joy is, in this context, it's gladness, exceeding cheerfulness, okay? Because we have cause and occasion. The cause is that our salvation, right? Who is the object of our joy? That's Jesus. Amen? So we have the capacity to live joyfully as a way of life, okay? Now, how do we appropriate joy? Okay? Next slide, please. So I'm going to share with you some keys to unlocking joy. And what I want to just call out here are these keys are really principles that we live by. They're not shortcuts or hacks, okay? There's no quick tip to experiencing joy, right? It's about the relationship that we have with God, okay? So number one is live in God's presence. Two, obey his commandments. Three, walk by the Spirit. Four, make a choice to rejoice. And five, give yourself permission to express or display joy. Amen? So we're going to go through each of these keys in a little more detail. Next slide, please. Key number one. Oh, go back one, please. There we go. Let's say this together. Live in God's presence. Live in God's presence. Amen. So Psalm 16:11 says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." What we can gather from this verse is that we find satisfaction and pleasure, okay? That's what joy is, right? In God himself. In God himself. His personhood should bring us joy, right? Because we can think of all that he means to us, all that he has done for us, amen? And the term presence to me signals it's about intimacy and fellowship. You can accept Jesus into your heart, but there is a relationship. What is the degree of your relationship, your closeness to God? Okay, and that is something that we need to allow ourselves and open up ourselves to if we so desire to draw closer to God. That is on us. It's not up to God. God already made the way. But it's up to us. Do I want to draw closer to God? So it's the intimacy that is going to bring you joy and greater joy, okay? What's also beautiful about this verse is it says that you'll make known to me the path of life. So yes, we have the capacity of joy, but in that relationship, he shows us the way to get into his presence, amen? And the last thing I wanted to point out that the presence is the fullness of joy. So we're not just going to experience joy. It's fullness of joy. That means it's complete. That means we are filled. Okay, just let that sink in, all right? Because we just said before that joy is an emotion of great delight, great, exceeding, exuberant. Amen? All right. Next slide, please. Okay, so another verse, I think that we are so familiar with this verse. Nehemiah 8:10, For the joy of the Lord is your strength. I think we've stood on the verse. I think we've prayed that verse. I think we've had people pray over us. The joy of the Lord is our strength, especially when we're going through a difficult time. What does this really mean? Okay. So to that, you'll notice some interesting symbols and pictures. I looked into the original ancient Hebrew language, okay, where the Hebrew language, first of all, you read from right to left, and each consonant in the Hebrew language is associated with the picture, okay? And I want to bring this to life to you so that you can understand what this verse means, okay? The joy of the Lord refers to the Lord. The Lord himself is glad. The Lord himself is experiencing joy, right? And why is that? So let's look at that little chart. So the first consonant is chet, which represents a fence or a separation. You see that picture there, it looks like a fence, right? Can't get through. The second consonant is the led, which is associated with a door or a pathway. The third consonant, zav, represents nail or hook. Basically, it represents connection. And the fourth consonant, he, is associated with a showing or a revealing, okay? So what this story is telling us, okay, is that the Lord himself is glad because he has provided a door in the fence that separates. He's provided a door, a pathway for us to enter in to a covenant relationship with him. That is the joy of the Lord, okay? Think on that. And strength in this context, okay, it means refuge, safety, protection. So the privilege to enter into his presence and fellowship with the King of Kings is our refuge, is our safety, is our protection, is our strength. Amen. That's deep, right? God is good. All right. Next slide, please. Okay, so we're on to key number two. Let's say this together. Obey his commandments. John 15, 9 to 11 says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And these things I have spoken to you so that my joy, meaning God's joy, will be in you, and your joy, which is about our joy, will be made full. Now, what does to abide mean? It means to remain, to continue to be present, right, with the Lord, to be held and kept continually, to remain as one, oneness. So if we were to substitute, okay, this definition into this verse, so if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. You will continue to be present in my love. You will be held and kept continually in my love. You will remain in oneness in my love. If we do this, then his joy will be in you, and your joy will be made full. Amen. So the part about my joy, the gladness is in us. I think I'd like to think of it as, you know, if we are one with God, then literally his joy is in us, okay? And if his joy is in us, that means that becomes our joy, right? And in God's eyes, we are the object of his joy. Think on that. God takes pleasure in us. That is a truth. And that, in response, our reaction should be like, wow, wow, get excited, oh my gosh, wow, all right? And our joy, okay, when we know that truth, that he takes pleasure in us, then it is made full because our response, it's like, how can you even fathom that we are God's joy? Amen. All right. Key number three. Next slide, please. Okay. Remember, these are principles to live by. I know I'm kind of doing this quickly, but let it soak in. Walk by the Spirit. Let's say this together. Walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16, 22 to 23 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." So we're all familiar with this truth. Joy is one of the fruits or one of the results of living in the Spirit. Okay? And remember the definition of joy. It's an emotion of great delight in response to or caused by someone, the Holy Spirit, or something, the work of God, that is satisfying or pleasurable, greatly valued or appreciated. So what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? It means that you're regulating your life. You're conducting your life, your behavior, your thoughts, okay, your words, by the Spirit. It means that you are yielded to Him. You are submitted to Him. Okay, it tied in very well with obedience, right? How do we keep His commandments? We have to walk by the Spirit. We're not able to keep all of His commandments in our own ability or in our own strength, right? And joy, if it's a fruit of the Spirit, that means it originates, it's in the supernatural, right? It's supernatural character and demeanor. As we become more and more conformed to His image and to His likeness, right? And for that to happen, it takes time. It takes a commitment on our end to walk in close fellowship with God. Amen? Joy is not positive thinking, okay? Joy is not something that we're going to just conjure up, all right? It originates from God. It is empowered by God. Amen? Amen. Okay, next slide. Key number 4. Let's say this together. Make a choice to rejoice. Right. Now, earlier I had talked about how joy is birthed in the Spirit, appropriated through our soul, and displayed by our body. So this key to unlocking joy is about appropriating the joy, all right, through our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. So in Philippians, I think that this is some great example from the Apostle Paul about appropriating joy. He is a good role model. I'm going to call out some examples that we can think about whether we can activate that in our life, okay? Now, remember, Apostle Paul wrote this at a time when he was imprisoned, all right? And one major theme about the book of Philippians, in the book of Philippians, is about rejoicing, okay? So I'm not going to have the scripture up there. I will read them quickly, so please stay with me, all right? So in chapter 1, verse 3, okay, we find this principle of thankfulness, okay? So Paul is writing to all the saints, and he's saying in verse 3, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all." So he is thankful, okay? And what is also brought out is the fact that the saints in Philippi were the source of Paul's joy, okay? And we know that because in verse 7 it says, "For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart." So who is your source of joy? It should be the Lord for sure. But in any and every circumstance, who is your source of joy? Jesus and your brothers, your sister, your mother, your father. We can find something good in those relationships. It's a choice, right? Right? Another principle is that Paul kept his eyes on the prize, all right? He knew the bigger picture. He knew the end state. He recognized that his imprisonment and some of his detractors, right? He didn't have, some of them weren't his fans, all right? It didn't matter. His situation led to the greater advance of the gospel, okay? And where do we see this? So starting in verse 12 of Philippians 1. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. See how he recognized that? Okay. And he says in verse 13, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known through the guard and to everyone else. So everybody knew about it. Everyone knew that he was trying to advance the gospel. And his imprisonment actually caused some people to have more confidence and courage to speak about the Lord. Okay? Now, there were two kinds of people who were proclaiming the gospel. Verse 15 says, sure, some are preaching Christ from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. Okay? He could have gotten upset about those people who were preaching the gospel out of the wrong motivation. Okay? But he says in verse 18, but what then? It's like, what does that matter? What does that matter? Why? Because in every way, whether in pretense, meaning false motives, or truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this, I rejoice. So when we're going through a situation, okay, let's keep our eyes on the prize, all right? What is that prize? Ask God, what is that prize? Okay, what is the end point? You know you're going to come out of it. You know that he is faithful. He's going to meet your needs. So keep your eyes on the prize, okay? And related to this about knowing the end point, okay, Paul also knew very clearly his purpose and his assignment on this earth. Do you know your purpose and your assignment? Is that something that can fuel you to keep going, to keep walking in this journey, right, of this life? We were created for such a time as this. We have a purpose. We have a call on our lives. And some of us may already know that clearly. Some of us may know some of it, right? Some of us may not know. That's okay, because God reveals it to us. And we should have that desire to know what God has for us, okay? In verse 16, okay, Paul says, sure, some are preaching Christ from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill, and the latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Okay, so he knew his purpose and assignment. And the last point, and I know we all know this verse, in Philippians chapter 4:4, Paul exhorts us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. If Paul can do it, we can do it. If Paul can do it, we can do it. We're not imprisoned. Maybe in our minds, but not physically imprisoned. But we don't have to be imprisoned in our minds, all right? All right. Now, if we make a decision of our will to rejoice, what are we doing? We're basically manifesting the kingdom of God, right? That's the order of the kingdom of God in us, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We will be producing the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? All right, next slide. I'm so excited. Key number 5. Let's say this together. Give yourself permission to display joy. You know why I'm laughing, right? Okay, so this key is about displaying joy, expressing joy, okay? Remember, that's one of the definitions of joy. It's the expression or display of glad feeling, festive gaiety. I think we've all had festive gaiety and things in the natural. You know, when your team scored the big win, right? Woo! Right? You're painting yourself up in green colors. You're jumping around like a mad person, right? When we get good news, right? A raise, a promotion, baby news, engagement news, you know, even when we go shopping. I know we all love to go shopping, all right? And we score a big deal. Woo! All right. So if we can do that in the natural, is there anything that is holding us back for expressing festive gaiety at the love of God, in response to the love of God and what he has done for us? So many things that we can think of. So many things, okay? And I shared some verses here, and this is how I know that we are really in one accord today, because Jen, you shared Psalm 100 this morning, right? So God is onto something today. He really wants to hammer home, okay, this idea of joy, all right? Now, remember earlier in the message, I said that in the Hebrew and Greek language, there's actually 35 different words for joy, right? So the nuances of those 35 different words really have to do with the different expressions and the different ways that you can display joy. So there are three verses on the board that we're going to read. Now, what's in parentheses in blue are those different displays of joy. So this is really going to bring it to life for you, okay? So the first verse in Zephaniah 3:17 is about God, okay? So the Lord your God is in your midst. A victorious warrior, yeah, he's fighting our battles, right? He's defending our heart, okay? He will leap and spring over you with joyful cries and a joyful voice. He will be quiet in his love. And he will dance, spin around over you. I think you've seen some of this displayed here, right? With shouts of gladness, proclamation, a joyful cry. Now, if the Lord is joyful and we are his joy, and he is joyful because he has made a way for us to enter into covenant relationship with him, and this is his display, what's our excuse? God is a joyful God. God loves a party. Now, I'm not saying that we always have to party, but I just want you to remember, okay, that it's okay to express and display joy. Because God fills us with his joy, and we are filled, we are full. We need to release it, all right? If we want more joy, we have to release what we have, okay? So it's okay. Give yourself permission to express joy as the Holy Spirit leads you to do so. He is our model, all right? And we can model his behavior. Now, the second verse in Habakkuk 3:18 is, I think it's about our response, okay? And it says, I will. It's a choice of our will. I will. Point to yourself. I will command your soul. I will. I will jump for joy and triumph in the Lord. I will dance, spin around in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. Yeah? We've got liberty and freedom to do so, right? Don't let anybody ever tell you that you can't express the joy to rejoice in the God of our salvation. Okay? Now, the last verse, this is so cool, Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2. Now, in this context, this is about the Israelites coming together in corporate worship, right? Together, entering into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with joy. And what I love about this verse, okay, is shout joyfully. So raise a sound, cry out, give a blast to the Lord, woo, all the earth, okay? serve the Lord with gladness. So serve the Lord with glee, with pleasure. Come before him with a ringing cry, shouting for joy, and triumphing. Now, I'm sharing this with you not to say that we're just going to all work ourselves up, okay? It's not about that. This is about recognizing that God is so worthy to receive our worship. He is so worthy to receive our thanksgiving. He is so worthy because of the work of the cross. That's the foundational. And whenever we go through a time in our lives where it's not particularly a happy time, okay, there is going to be a fork in the road where we have to decide, God, I may not be feeling it today, but I choose by an act of my will to put this burden down. Because I know that you're going to come through for me, and I don't have to think about it all day. Okay? I don't have to let it consume me. Whatever the need or the problem is, I'm just going to put that down, Lord. And I am going to look to you because you are the object of my affection. I know your truth, your promises towards me. I know what you've already done for me, and you are forever worthy of my praise, of my worship. And that is how we're going to be able to walk joyfully as a way of life. Amen. So at this time, I'd like to ask the worship team to come up. So in closing, I'd like you to be still. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would continue to manifest yourself in our midst and to minister to your people. In closing, I'd like you to go before the Lord and allow him to minister to your spirits. What is he speaking to you concerning joy? Is he inviting you to draw closer to him? Is he encouraging you to submit to him and to walk by the Spirit, to yield and to submit yourself to the Spirit? Is he encouraging you to just release that which he's given you, the joy, that great delight, the satisfaction, and the pleasure that can only come from God? It's incomparable, incomparable to anything that you could ever receive on this earth. Or is he inviting you to come into a relationship with him? Do you know the Lord? Do you have a covenant relationship with him? Have you accepted him into your heart as your Savior? If not, his invitation is there. And all you need to do is to call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. And if that's your prayer, just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Save me and give me a new life. I want to know your love. I want to walk with you. I want to be the new person, a new creation in Christ. Hallelujah. Is God the source of your satisfaction or pleasure? How much do you appreciate him? How much do you value who he is and what he's done for you? Is he your joy? Because we are his joy. We have cause for joy today. So what I'd like for us to do right now, since we've been talking about giving ourselves permission to display joy, I'd like for us to exercise expressing that joy and displaying that joy. Amen. I don't want us to walk out of here thinking, oh yeah, that's good, and then not have a change in our behavior. You know, because joy, it's about activation right now, okay? And we need to activate the capacity in our life to walk joyfully before the Lord. So what I'm gonna ask you to do is to stand up if you can. We're gonna go back into worship for a few minutes. Hallelujah. And what I'm asking God to do right now, hallelujah. Lord, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would move in our midst. I ask that you would continue to stir up the spirits, oh God, of your children, oh Lord God. Oh God, that as they draw closer to you, as they lean into you, Lord, you promised in your word that you will draw close to them. God, I ask you, God, that you would give them an extra dose, Lord God, of your supernatural joy, Lord God. You would just surround them, oh Lord God, and fill them with your very presence, oh God. Hallelujah. And by your Spirit, you would move them, oh God, to express, to release, and to display the joy, the satisfaction, and the pleasure that they have in you. Hallelujah. And what I'm gonna ask you to do right now corporately, hallelujah, okay? You can play, you can start to play a little louder as we build. We're gonna do this together. We're gonna start off by clapping our hands. As you clap your hands, what is gonna go through your mind? You're gonna think about the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. And may the measure of the sound of your clapping be a measure of the degree of satisfaction and pleasure that you have in your God of your salvation. So the more pleasure and satisfaction that you have in Him, the louder your